Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Sebastian Aguilar, and today we are interviewing the men and women who have taken out a vow of four words. I'm very excited to have our current president of St. Thomas High School, Father James Murphy, a Basilian from New England who has made Texas a second home and has made St. Thomas High School his place of service. If you don't know much about Father Murphy, here's some background.
I grew up in a town called Holyoke, Massachusetts. I think it influenced my faith because it was really established by Irish immigrants who were coming in. They'd land in Boston, and then they'd kind of be shipped further inland to work in planned mill towns along different rivers in New England. And so my hometown was very much divided between your Irish Catholics and then your French Canadian Catholics who brought goods down the river. And so there was a merging of those two very Catholic cultures. And so growing up, even though I went to public school growing up, the Catholic faith was very much a part of my life.
As a young boy, Father Murphy was an altar boy at his church and sang in the choir. He occasionally attended Mass and was a tri-sport athlete. In school, he was in the band and played the tuba and electric bass. He was in many musicals and also wrote in his school newspaper. He also helped out with retreats and in his church youth group program. Something I didn't know about Father Murphy until this interview is that he grew up with seven sisters. In his early adult life, Father Murphy did not initially feel called to be a priest, but to be a Basilian. He dated all throughout high school and college and assumed he would get married and have kids. He met the Basilians in college, and here's some more about that.
But when I went to college, I met the Basilians. I met some Basilians who were just great models of presence. And when I got close to graduation from college, Father Paul English, who's who was the campus minister at my college, would regularly tell me, he'd say, Murphy, make a great Basilian. And I would tell him either shut up or go away. But I realized I wasn't telling him no.
Yeah.
And it's not that I wanted to be a priest. It's that I felt I could be a Basilian. Mm-hmm. I saw people like Father Mitch Dualgo, who was the first Basilian I met. Father Kevin Story, former president here at St. Thomas, I met him when I was 18 years old. He wasn't ordained yet, but he was preparing for ordination, but he was working in my college campus ministry. So I've known him since I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. I had a couple Basilians in the classroom, and they were great presence. They were always present to students, and that was always something that stood out to me.
Father Murphy attended John Fisher College, now John Fisher University, for their broadcasting journalism program and because of the good financial aid. He wanted to be more involved, so he joined campus ministry and sang the chapel choir. He also helped in the RCIA program. Father Murphy ran cross-country freshman year and wanted to be more involved in different events and experience new things. After knowing he wanted to become a priest, Father Murphy attended the Toronto School of Theology. Here is him on some more information.
I attended the Toronto School of Theology in Toronto, Canada. And it was TST, as it's known. It was a federation of seven different theological schools. There were three Catholic schools. There's St. Michael's, which had been founded by the Basilians. Regis, which was founded by the Jesuits, and the Archdiocesan Seminary from Toronto. Mm-hmm. And then there were also four Protestant schools that helped make it. There was a high Anglican school, a low Anglican school, there was a Presbyterian school, and a United Church of Christ school. And you took classes where they were best offered. So I loved it. It was, I had some great professors, but I learned, as I'm learning about learning theology and learning about ministry within my own faith tradition, I'm also learning it in the context of of others who are learning ministry within their own context. And it was marvelous. I've never been a great theological or philosophical mind, so some of those things were quite challenging to me. But there were areas where I did succeed well. I enjoyed courses that focused on ministry, that focused on. I had a great professor, Sister Ellen Leonard. She taught a couple courses on Christology and ecclesiology that still resonate with me today. Sister Mary Ellen Sheehan taught history of Catholic education. Again, you know, just some great, great work. And I just learned from great people. But I was also it's not just who you're learning from, it's who you're learning with. And like, I had very good friends from the Presbyterian school and who were learning from each other. We're learning what are the differences between our churches and where do they stem from, and maybe where are those areas of commonality that we need to highlight going forward. Mm-hmm.
One of Father Murphy's most important and favorite things about being a priest is being able to be there for people.
I love being able to be present to people in the moments that matter to them. Mm-hmm. Whether it be baptisms, weddings, funerals. Again, that idea of being present. That was important to me. That's what I saw in the Bazilians when I first met them. They were present to people and available to hear my concerns, my worries. And I want to be able to be present to people when they need me to be. Mm-hmm. And it's a joy and an honor and a privilege to accompany people on their faith journey and maybe help them understand a little bit more of God's love and mercy and compassion, to help them see the little miracles in their lives that happen each and every day. And, it's an honor.
Is it hard for you going back to one day doing a funeral and then one day doing a wedding? Is that ever hard for you?
Not really. There's I have to be careful with my tone, but even if I'm doing a funeral, if I have the privilege, I want it to be a celebration. Yeah. And I want the family to understand and feel, even in the midst of their grief and their sorrow, that our faith leads us to believe great things. And also, I like to deal with reality. When we die, none of us are perfect when we die. Yeah. And some of those imperfections it's not a bad idea to highlight some of those imperfections and deal with the reality of lives. Yeah. And even if I didn't know the family or the deceased very well, it doesn't take a lot of effort to find out enough to allow the family to feel cared for and ministered to.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. Not every priest is good at weddings. Not every priest is good at funerals. I believe I have some strengths in those areas. That's something that has been nurtured in me throughout my life. Being in a big family, I'm generally pretty good at listening, but also at lightening the mood in different situations. But I can be, I'm not really good at being somber. Mm. I can be serious. Serious, but not somber.
Yeah.
I still want to convey the appropriateness of our emotions. But I don't want to go too dour, because again, you know, as Bazillion once told me, I've read the end of the book, and the good guys win at the end.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important thing for us to remember in our faith.
Those were some pretty good words from Father Murphy. And this next part is about Father Murphy's early years as a priest and how it was like you celebrate his first Mass.
my very first Mass, I was ordained on a Saturday and had my, met with a call, our Mass of Thanksgiving on Sunday, and I was sick. So I remember I was wearing glasses at the time, and the pads of my glasses had kind of fallen off. And so I'm sweating, and I'm kind of constantly trying to push my glasses up, back up onto my nose. Yeah. It was surreal. Again, I was an altar boy from as young as I could have been. I think I was maybe 8 years old when I started as an altar server in my parish. So I'd always been around the altar. I'd always been active around the altar. So it was new. My very first year ordained, I worked in a parish in Rochester, New York. And that's pretty common for Bazillions, because we want to get that experience of doing daily Masses and getting, you know, understanding the rhythm of the church calendar, understand what parish priests deal with. And I had a great experience. The parish I was in was wonderful. And then my second year, I went to work in a high school in Oakland, California that the Bazillions ran. So my first year as a priest was, you know, like as a young parish priest, learning all those regular parts of saying Mass on a regular basis and prayer and that rhythm of the church year. And then the next year I was working at a co-ed high school, very different reality. Yeah. I loved it. Like I always knew that I was destined to do high school work with the Bazillion. So, that was a very different year. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in a different city than I'd ever lived. I'd never lived in California before. Living in Oakland, it was a fun school to live in. I lived with some other great Bazillions, it was new.
Never in his wild imagination did Father imagine himself becoming the president of a high school, and mostly just imagined himself becoming a freshman or sophomore teacher or coach.
Did you ever think you were going to become president of a high school?
Oh, God, no. No. I just wanted to be, you know, a freshman and sophomore theology teacher.
Yeah.
Maybe an assistant coach here and there. But again, it's the hard thing about being president is the finding the ways to still be present to people. And so that's what I was ordained for. I when I think of my calling, why I was drawn to the Bazillions, what it was about them that stood out, it's that presence that, you know, wherever students were, you know, the Bazillions wanted to be there. Like I said, I was in college, I was involved with everything. I was in the drama, you know, drama productions. I helped out with sporting events. I would sing the national anthem at, you know, any of my college, you know, events, and the Bazillions would be there and present and visible. And I want to be present and visible to the students, to the faculty, to the alumni. One of the hard things that I deal with now that I'm kind of the last Bazillion standing, or at least sitting right now, is trying to still be present to as many people as possible. I've been at St. Thomas for a long time now, and so I'm at the point where former students are asking me to do their weddings. And I have a number that I've done this past year. I've got a number lined up for next year. But I've also been around where I just got off the phone with someone who wants me to prepare for a relative's funeral, those types of things. So finding that balance is kind of the challenge that I face.
Yeah.
St. Thomas has greatly impacted Father Murphy's life because it has given him a base of operations, and he never imagined living in Houston, and because he enjoys the four seasons and the snow. Coming to an all-boys school has also been pretty different for him because he grew up with seven sisters and was in co-ed environments most of his life.
The history of the school, but more than that, I love the opportunity to engage and be present to people.
Yeah.
That's it. I learned early on, one of the things I've always felt is the person who is right in front of me is the most important person. That's the person who needs my ministry right now. And so that's how I try to live my life. If someone calls me and say, I need, do you have 5 minutes? I want to make sure I have those 5 minutes. Someone knocks on my door. Hey, you got a few minutes? I want to be able to always say, yes, I have that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because that person is reaching out to me for whatever reason, and I want to be able to respond.
Father Murphy has given some pretty good points and pretty good information, and this is his advice on how we can become closer to Christ.
I think by opening our eyes and seeing the wonders around us, and not, there's a lot that can be discouraging in the world.
Yeah.
But when you actually talk with people and get to know them and find out their hopes and their dreams and their struggles, I feel you can't help but be amazed at how God is working in people's lives.
Yeah.
Positively. I think little bits of gratitude, engaging with people, saying hello. When someone looks forward to you saying hi to them, you're doing God's work.
Yeah.
And I think that's something I strive for. It's like that, that great, the $1 million handshake, which is one of the symbols of House Wilson.
Yeah.
Father Wilson was this marvelous bazillion here at St. Thomas who always treated people with incredible respect and dignity. And a student who felt estranged and felt less than, for one reason or another, always felt that Father Wilson treated him and saw him as someone worth that dignity and worth that respect. And to me, that's important. I'll tease you, I'll harass joyfully. But I want students here to know that I see them, that I honor the struggles that they go through, and I want to celebrate the joys that they celebrate. I want to know what their favorite movie is. I want to know what their favorite accomplishment is. I want them to know that there is someone here on this campus who cares about them, who's proud of them, who loves them, and is not afraid to say those things to them. While I'm teasing you, while I'm picking on you, I think that's also the bazillion way.
I'm very thankful for Father Murphy for making time out of his busy day to have this wonderful conversation with me and share these really good pieces of advice and information. I am very proud to call Father Murphy our president, and I am grateful for the leadership and service he has given St. Thomas High School. Thank you for listening to this wonderful podcast with Father Murphy. I'm your host, Sebastian Aguilar, and buenas noches.